Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Marcia Pilgrim to begin another chapter of Office Wife.
Jeff and I had a party this evening. And who do you think Harry Palmer brought with him? Yes, you've guessed it. Stella Bronson. That was bad enough. But to have to stand there while she told me how wonderfully sweet it was of Jeff to drive her all over the place at 2 o'clock in the morning, the very night before we were married. I wouldn't have cared if only Jeff had told me himself. But he deliberately lied about it. Why should he if he had a clear conscience? Angela Tennant always said there was something between my husband and that Bronson woman. Now I'm beginning to believe there really is. I wonder if Jeff will lie to me again tonight.
Oh, the worst thing about these parties, Marcia, darling. I always make such a colossal mess. Look about you, for heaven's sake. You'd think a herd of pigs had raced through.
Oh, never mind. Nancy can clean up the worst of it in the morning. Jeff?
Oh, what, Pat?
Do you remember our first night out? The first night of our honeymoon cruise?
I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Well, please don't think I'm raking over old coals or asking you again just because Stella Bronson was here tonight. But have you ever driven her anywhere? You told me that night you hadn't, remember?
Yes, I do remember that.
You said you hadn't. Have you?
Well, hang it all, darling. Once is enough, isn't it?
Yes, but tell me.
Look, I'm tired. I'm going to have a shower and turn in.
Answer me, have you?
No, I haven't.
That's all, then. Good night. Now, get away from me.
Look, what's the matter with you?
There's nothing the matter with me, and I wish you'd leave me alone.
Here, darling, this won't do.
I know it won't do. You drove that woman home from Fig Tree Street the night before we were married, and you've been lying about it ever since.
So Palmer spilt the beans, did he?
No, he didn't. Stella told me. She said how frightfully charming it was of you. Now, Jeff, why couldn't you have told me the truth?
Well, come here and sit down, Marcia. I'll try to explain.
Oh, so you can explain, can you?
The first night out on a boat, I had it on the tip of my tongue at least 50 times, but I kept putting it off for fear you wouldn't understand. Darling, I was in an awkward position. Palmer's car had been milked of all its petrol. All the other fellows with me were feeling a bit festive, and there simply didn't seem to be anything else I could do.
There's such a thing as a cab, isn't there? But, of course, you couldn't find one.
Neither we could. Palmer swore there wasn't a cab to be had.
Oh, what pitiful rubbish. Look, at least half the men with you had cars, didn't they? Why couldn't they have given Palmer a gallon of petrol to get that girl home? I'll tell you. Because you had every intention of driving her home.
Marcia, you're completely wrong.
If I'm wrong, why did you have to tell lies?
Because it was absolutely innocent. Because you're so insanely jealous. I've always been going to tell you, but each time I've made up my mind to get it off my chest, you've come out with some rot about us lunching together or working late or something equally stupid. How much longer are you going to lean over backwards to find something suspicious about every single move I make?
Oh, what's the use? The woman fawns on you. It's written all over.
It's her manner. She gives the impression of fawning on everyone. There's nothing subtle about it. She's not fond of anyone in particular. She's fond of men, all men, world without end. Look, darling, will you please get her out of your mind?
I'm tired too, Jeff. Let's not say anything more tonight.
No, I will not say goodnight to you until we've cleared this ridiculous business up once and for all.
Get rid of her for me, will you, Jeff? Please.
No, I will not. I've thought of it often for the sake of harmony. But it would be an admission that there's something in what you think. I will run my own life and my own office and my own home as I see fit under all circumstances at all times. I will not pander to your absurd notions. If you wanted a weak-kneed fool for a husband, you shouldn't have married me. Come here. Put your arms around me. Promise never to be silly again. Because I'm your husband and I love you. No other woman ever comes into my head or my heart.
Oh, Jeff. When you're like this... Jeff, are you really as fond of me as all that?
That and much, much more. Would you like me to prove it?
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Stella.
I had a marvelous time last night. It was delightful.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. But let's forget the social post-mortem, shall we? We've work to do.
I'm sorry. Did that snub come out pat, or do you get a lot of practice at it?
Look, can't we forget personalities for once?
I beg your pardon.
No, it's all right. I didn't mean to be rude. There's one thing you might tell me, though. Whose idea was it to tell Mrs. Pilgrim that I drove you home from Fig Tree Street that night?
Whose idea?
Yes, was it yours or Harry Palmer's?
Well, really, it wasn't anyone's. I simply told your wife.
Mrs. Pilgrim.
All right, Mrs. Pilgrim, then. I simply told her I thought it was very kind of you and I hadn't thanked you properly. Don't tell me it went down the wrong way.
If I thought you'd told my wife with any ulterior motives, tell her, I'd have you out of this firm so quickly you'd never know what happened to you.
Well, if that's the way you feel, you can have my resignation this minute.
That might be a very good idea. Oh. Yes, Pilgrim here.
Oh, Jeff, come up to my office immediately, will you?
Oh, at once, sir?
At once.
Oh, very well, Mr. Fleming. I have to go to Mr. Fleming's office. I'll tidy out a fair up when I get back.
It's nice to know I'm not fired.
You will be if I have to listen to Cheek. I'll expect you here when I get back.
You won't fire me, Jeff, darling. And I won't resign either. I can manage you. I can manage you with my hands tied behind my back. But it wouldn't be much fun.
Yes, Mr. Fleming. What was it, sir?
You'd better sit down. No, by George, you can stand up. Oh? Now, look here, Jeff. This sort of thing simply won't do. It won't do at all. If you're going to hold down a high executive position in this firm, you'll have to keep on your toes.
But what's the trouble, sir?
Now, don't interrupt me. Just because Benny Puller likes you enough to put a big contract in your hands, that doesn't say you can let your other work go hang.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Fleming, but I still don't catch on.
This Bates-Hemingway thing. Bates rang me up yesterday and said that you'd promised him a market and shipping analysis on his consignments by today at the latest. You know I have to sign them, the cover I mean, before they go in the post. And where are they? They should have been on my desk the day before yesterday at the latest, and I haven't seen hide nor hair. I'm sorry to haul you over the coals like this, but the responsibility is yours. Did the whole thing slip your mind?
Well, as a matter of fact...
There you are, then. You know Bates. He's likely to turn round and tear up his contract with us. You might say, what does it matter? It only costs me a few pounds of my bonus. But you want to remember, young fellow, the firm could lose 20,000 a year through your carelessness.
But, Mr. Fleming...
Now, for Pete's sake, don't start making excuses. I don't know if you think you can take things easy just because of your recent marriage.
Now, look here, sir.
Excuse me for interrupting, Mr. Fleming. Mr. Pilgrim asked me to bring you this Bates, Hemingway and Company report last thing yesterday evening, and I completely forgot. It was entirely my fault.
What? Bates, Hemingway report? Now, look here, Jeff. Why the devil couldn't you have said you'd finished it last night?
Well, sir, you didn't exactly give me a chance, did you?
You needn't have let me go on and on and on, ain't you? All right, Miss Bronson. Just be more careful in future. This has to be in the post today, or we could lose a contract. That's all. You may go.
I really am terribly sorry, Mr. Fleming.
Do you need me any more, Mr. Fleming?
No. No, that's all, Jeff. Next time, speak up before I, that's all.
Yes. There's one thing I feel I should mention, sir.
I said that's all, Jeff. You may go.
Very well, sir.
Miss Stella Bronson, I want you to tell me just one thing. Just where did the Bates-Hemingway report come from?
From your desk, of course.
No, I'm serious. Old Fleming was right. The thing went completely out of my mind. But look, where did it come from? Tell me, who compiled it?
I did.
What? You did?
Yes. I made a note of it. And when you were so awfully busy yesterday, I took the files home and did it myself last night. At 3 o'clock in the morning, if you must know.
Well, I'll be hanged. You mean to say you knew I'd forgotten it and you did it yourself and even went to Fleming this morning to save my bacon and take the blame for its being late?
You've always said I was a good secretary.
Yes. But after what I said to you this morning, you make me feel a complete and utter lot. Stella, please accept my apologies.
Oh, that's all right. Do you still want to fire me?
What? Fire you? No. No, I'd like to kiss you.
Well, why don't you? He kisses nicely, too. I'll teach you to look down your nose at me, Mrs. Geoffrey Pilgrim. This is going to be fun. The first husband I've ever stolen. But the trouble is, I might want to kiss him too often.
We invite you to listen again to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.